time we spoke about the need for a shaychet to be a Yerei Shemayim and how that's a very important criteria for determining whether he is or is not qualified to be a shaychet. Well, one of the... We also spoke there about that. Even if it's technically not within the rules of... within the Hilchos Shechita, he's not being so careful. General practice is that he needs to be, so to speak, all around Yerei Shemayim if we want to hire that person as a shaychet. Well, the question is, the question that came up was, there was one shaychet who the people around him never saw him davening, which is to say is, sometimes shechitas as a rule start very early in the morning, and sometimes in the winter, the time of, excuse me, shechita went for the entire time that was possible to daven shacharis. Yet during all the breaks, no one ever saw this shaychet davening. So they all turned around, it made them very uncomfortable, and they start them to question the Yerei Shemayim of this shechet. They say, how could this person be a shechet when he doesn't daven shacharis? For sure, it seems like that's not a person who's doing what he's supposed to be doing. So the Rabbi Masha confronted him, and he had different things that he had to say about that. But at one point, he mentioned that actually, when he was taught to be a shechet, when he was taught, his rebbeim told him that on the day that he shechts, during the time that he shechted, he should not daven, and that he could if his time afterwards, that's fine. But during the time of shechita, he shouldn't be davening. When they heard that, it sounded strange, and the Rav Moshe didn't. They sort of almost ignored what he had said about that part because it just didn't seem so possible that could be correct. Then there was another sheikh who had exactly the same thing, also did daven. But this sheikh was from a completely different background, a very different kind of person with presumably a different kind of rebbeim. And that person said the same thing. He said he doesn't daven because his rebbeim also told him that. So they started to look into this a little further and said, you know, maybe there must be something going on here. And it turned out that there was reason to think like that. And that is to say is, the thinking here might be is potentially, this person, the shaykhah, is considered oisik b'mitzah, patur min ha-mitzah. Since he's involved in shechita, in that mitzah, he's doing one mitzah, he's not required to do the other mitzah, which is the mitzah of davening, and therefore, on the day that he shechts, he's not mechuyav to daven. So we're going to talk about whether that should potentially apply over here. Of course, we care about whether it's the truth. Is it true that he doesn't have to daven? But also, part of the question here is not just, is it actually true, but once we see that there's a potential that there may be justification for his not davening, then already it takes it out of the realm of his being a lack of Yerei Shemayim for his not davening, and rather becomes just a matter of, you know, his remaining toward him this way, and if there's reason to think like that, that might be a justification for what he did, and take away from the how it looks, and from the fact that it may not appear to be as Yerei Shemayim. Okay, so the first question we have to think about is, we're trying to classify this person as an oisik b'mitzvah. Is there actually a mitzvah for the person to shecht? Should we say that there's a mitzvah to shecht, or is it just, well, if you don't shecht an animal, then it's treif, it's an avela. So therefore, you sort of have to shecht in order to get around that problem, but it's not inherently a mitzvah. And it turns out that's a machlokes, the Sefer Mitzvah, the Rambam, the Sefer Mitzvah, Kuf Mem Vav, lists shechita as one of the mitzvahs, say, mitzvah kuf mem vav. And the rabbi over there says, no, he says, I'm not sure that this is really a mitzvah, but the truth is that even the rabbi who says he's not sure that it's a mitzvah says there may be a lot of habo mechal, say, which for our purposes may be good enough, and it might be a technicality for whether it qualifies as a mitzvah, say, a technical mitzvah, say, but it can say that even according to the rabbi, it's considered to be a mitzvah also. There's also a Tosfos in Shulchan and Chavdalad, where Tosfos begins by starting, at the beginning Tosfos assumes that shechita is a mitzvah, but in the end he says, no, he's not, he says actually it's not a mitzvah, it's just a way to avoid nevela. That's one issue, and one angle of it. And another is that the crazy place he says, you know, if we make a bracha, we say, shechita shonam and sosa v'tzivanu, we say that we have a mitzvah to do this, that sure sounds like it's a mitzvah. We wouldn't make a bracha on something if it wasn't a mitzvah, that's what the crazy place he says, but the Taz says, no, Taz doesn't agree with that. Taz says that really it's a brichas hashevach. We're giving shvach to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he gave us a yisur to eat nevela. And when would we have a choice to make that bracha? Like, when's the right time to give a shevach for that thing? At the time of shechita, that's deemed to be the appropriate time. The Taz says in the Indian that therefore it doesn't really make a difference who makes the bracha on the shechita. And he compares it to a bris milah and a marriage, that even though there's a mitzvah involved, other people are allowed to make the mitzvah, because again, allowed to make the bracha, because again, those are considered birchas ha-shevach. Just the time to make the birchas ha-shevach was established to do that, the time when, sort of when it comes into our face, that we have this issur to do a certain thing, or a mitzvah to do a certain thing, so that's the time to make the birchas ha-shevach, and it's not a mitzvah, a bracha that the person, so to speak, doing the mitzvah has to make. Okay, so it's another two tzedakah onto whether it is or is not a mitzvah to do shechita. So here, again, so I mentioned some shechitas, and many achorim speak about this question, is shechita actually a mitzvah or is it not a mitzvah? But the truth is that even if it's not a formal mitzvah, even if shechita might not be considered officially a mitzvah to do, but even so, it could be that for the purposes of oisik mitzvah patim mitzvah, it's good enough. And that it's even though it's not technically a mitzvah, it may still be good enough to be considered oisik mitzvah. And the reason to say that is because if you look around, there are many examples of oisik mitzvah, and a lot of them are not, so to speak, what we call mitzvahs. For example, a person who sells tefillin mezuzahs, okay, he's selling them. He's not wearing them or writing them. He's selling them. Or a person who's a shomer for a maze, or he digs graves, or a person going to visit his rebbe, or people helping the public save money, and even a sort of casual oiskei demlecha shemayim. All those people are considered oisik mitzvah or patzman mitzvah. So if those people are considered oisik mitzvah patzman mitzvah, it makes us feel like the criteria to be considered oisik mitzvah doesn't have to be fit to other rules of what oisik mitzvah is, but he's doing something that the Rosh Hashanah wants him to do, and seemingly shechita would qualify for that. So, okay, so we see that it sure seems like this is considered a mitzvah, this qualifies to be a mitzvah. But the next question is, the fact that the shechit doesn't do this because he loves shechita, the shechit is doing it as his paid job. So does that person also could be considered a secret mitzvah if he does it when he's being paid? So like this, the Shulchan Aruch says, as I mentioned this din a second ago, the Shulchan Aruch says from a Gemara, Kaisei Tefillin Mezuzahs, people who write Tefillin Mezuzahs, Hain, those people who are writing the Tefillin Mezuzahs, they're doing the mitzvah, as they say, the Shulchan Aruch says, Uchsavtam, they're doing the mitzvah, the Tagrayim, they and the merchants, the people who sell them, and those who resell them, you know, the wholesalers and the retailers, are all considered to be oitzik mitzvah or patim mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham says, if you hear that, the fact that the people who sell tefillin mezuzahs are considered oisik mitzvah tells us that even though the person is involved in something in order to make money, he's a merchant, he buys and sells, he buys it for $1 and sells it for $2, he's a merchant, he's making money on it, even so he's considered to be oisik mitzvah. The Magen Avraham says, and go look in Hilchos Pesach, it's another, a similar thing, which is there's a person who's doing bedikas chametz, and he's also, at the same time, he's looking for something that he misplaced. So he's doing the mitzvah of bedikas chametz, but while he's at it, he's checking his whole house, he's also checking for that thing that he can't find, that's something personal, and also it's considered, he's doing a mitzvah there, it's not a mitzvah question, there it's a different question, of sakana, b'shas, a person doing a mitzvah, but the Magen Avraham says it's comparable, so again, there we see that a person could be doing a mitzvah and doing something personal, having have a personal objective here also, and that person is considered oisik mitzvah. So that's on the one side. But Magen Avraham asks on that Rashi says on this Gemara that says that Kosei Tzilim Mezuzahs, Heim V'Tagrim, V'Tagrim are considered oisik mitzvah. The Rashi says is, it's talking about the people who buy Tzilim in order to make them available for other people who need them. Why did Rashi have to say that? Obviously, people who buy and sell tefillin are for the mitzvah. Why is Rashi mentioning to us that they're buying tefillin in order to make them available for other people? So, the Magen Avraham is medayik. He says that because it's only the people who have in mind specifically to help people get tefillin. Those kind of people are oisik mitzvah. But if they're just in the business, they just run they sell Jewish objects, and this is what they happen to sell. That person is not considered oisik mitzvah. So, which one is it? Here, in the Shulchan Aruch says Tagrim doesn't say any qualifications. People who sell tefillin mezuzahs are considered oisik mitzvah. The people who are doing bedikas chametz are considered to be are doing a mitzvah. So why does Rashi say it's only people who are doing it for the mitzvah, specifically for the mitzvah, that are considered oisik mitzvah? So Magen Avraham says the answer is it depends. It depends on what the person's primary motivation is for doing this. If his main objective here is to do the mitzvah, and the personal side is sort of on the side, that's a, you know, a secondary point, that person is considered a basic mitzvah. Like, for example, the person doing bedikas chametz, of course he's doing bedikas chametz because he's going to a mitzvah tonight, the night of Erev Pesach, to do bedikas chametz. That's why he's doing it. As an aside, he happens to be looking for his chametz also. Or like Rashi said, the person is selling tulum mezuzahs. That's his, he's doing it because he wants to help the public be mekayim the mitzvah of wearing tefillin. On the side, he's making some money and supporting his family, but that's not his main motivation. That person is considered a sefer mitzvah. But if a person is, if he's out there looking because he really is just a business for him, if it happens to be he's doing a mitzvah, the Magen Avraham says that person is not considered a sefer mitzvah. But now, that's what the Magen Avraham says. And Acharonim didn't speak much about it. The Bir Halacha, first of all, brings a riot that he thinks against the Magen Avraham. Excuse me. But second is, Bir Halacha says he wants to be Mechad as follows. He says, he thinks that when a person is doing something that is inherently a mitzvah, that person is considered basically the mitzvah regardless of what his tefillin is. The only time we care about what the person has in mind is when he's doing something that's not a direct mitzvah, sort of an indirectly a mitzvah. So he says, the deal to say like that is because if you look at the Gemara says is Kaisi Tfilin and Mzuzis, Haim Vitagrayim Vitagri Tagrahim. When Rashi makes his comment that the people are doing it specifically to help people do the mitzvah, he says that on the Tagrahim. So the Bialcha says, why didn't he say it on the beginning? The Kaisi Tfilin and Mzuzis, why didn't he say it? The people who are writing them in order to help people do the mitzvah. The point is because the people who are writing the tefillin are for sure doing, they're doing something, a clear mitzvah. What their kavan is not important. That person is for sure considered a sefer mitzvah. The only time we have to think about what the person's intentions are, what his motivations are, is when he's doing something that's not directly the mitzvah, just helping people buy tefillin, he's just a merchant to sell, buying some tefillin, that person, we have to care about what he has in mind. But if the person is doing a direct mitzvah, like Bedikas Chametz, or the person is doing a mitzvah, like writing Tefillin Mezuzahs, then for sure that person is considered a sefer mitzvah. That's what the Bir Halacha, inherently, that's what he thinks is correct. And if that was true, if we were to stop over here, if that was true, then we would actually have to go back to what we spoke about beforehand. Is it a mitzvah to do shkrit or not? If it's a mitzvah, then it wouldn't make a difference what the person's kavanah, what his motivation is. And only if it's not a mitzvah would we have to care about motivation. But even so, even though I mentioned that the Bir Halacha asks questions on the Magen Avraham and thinks this is a different pshat, and that really what it depends on is whether the person is doing an actual mitzvah or just like we'll call it a hechsher mitzvah. But even so, in the Mishnah Berurah, he passes like the Magen Avraham, but with a little bit of a twist, he passes like the Magen Avraham that if the person's kavanah is for the personal reason, that's not considered a mitzvah. But if his kavanah is either for the mitzvah itself, that's his main kavanah, that's his primary motivation, or if he's split, he's half-half, he's both, he's doing it for two reasons, that person is also considered, the Mishnah Berurah says, is also considered to be, or he's the mitzvah, to be patamen mitzvah. Of course, this is very relevant to the Shechet. The Shechet is involved in a mitzvah, as we said, that would be considered Oisik B'mitzvah. And some Shechetim are out there just to help the public, not eating the veil. They're trying to help the public do the mitzvah, eating kosher meat. So those people are for sure Oisik B'mitzvah. But if a person is there just because it's a job, this is a job he happens to have, then according to the Magen Avraham, and the way that Mishnah Berurah passes, he would not be, if he's split, if he's both, you know, he needs to earn a living, and he wants to help the public, then he could potentially be considered a sefer mitzvah, then the Mishnah Berurah would say he would be considered a sefer mitzvah. Now, within this discussion of whether the Sheikh is a sefer mitzvah, and be patur mitzvah or not, the Bir Halacha, the next Bir Halacha, point out something else. He says, the Ramah says that the person who's Oisik B'mitzvah is Pater Mena Mitzvah. Everybody who says Oisik B'mitzvah, Pater Mena Mitzvah. But the Ramah says he's even Pater from Kriya Shema and Tefillah, Davening. That's what the Ramah says. But the Machaber doesn't pass like that. The Machaber passes that even though a person's Oisik B'mitzvah is Pater Mena Mitzvah, he's M'choy to say Kriya Shema and to Daven. So that is to say, if the Sheikh was a Sephardi, then this whole line of reasoning wouldn't help us. Because if he's a Sephardi, passing like the Mechaber, then he might be Oisik B'mitzvah, and he might be Patur Mina Mitzvahs. But specifically the mitzvah of Tefillah is a mitzvah he would be mechuyav to do. And therefore he would not be able to take advantage of this heter to be Oisik B'mitzvah, Patur Mina Mitzvah. Now, another point to talk about is, it used to be, way back when, that Sheikhdom would work for many, many hours straight. They could work for 6-7 hours straight. They just put them on the line and shecht away. Just keep on going. And the shecht could literally shecht the entire Zman Tefillah from beginning to end. And maybe in this, the Rebbeim who taught this person, these people, were from such an era where they just shechted for many hours straight. But that doesn't exist anymore. Nowadays, no, every reputable shechita doesn't let a shechit shecht for more than an hour or two, depending on what the situation is. At a certain, they all shechtim have to get a break in order they should do a better job. They should have a better, feel the knife better and do their job better. It's a very, concentrate better on what they're doing. So they all shechtim get a break every hour or two, and that's when most shechtim daven, during their break. They have a break. Let's say they're on from 6 to 7.30. So at 7.30 they daven, then they get back on at 8 o'clock, and then they go back, back to shechita. On our own, we might have thought that the fact that they have a break means at that point they're not ready to sit the mitzvah. They sit down, they drink a coffee, and have a Danish, they're taking it easy. So they're not ready to sit the mitzvah then. So then if he's not ready to sit the mitzvah then, either if he was ready to sit the mitzvah, put him in a mitzvah when he was doing the shechita, but during his break, he should not. But in fact, it's not true. The Mishnah says in a number of places that a person has a break. It comes from Dinah Mishnah. The person who has a break, during his break, is also considered Oisik B'mitzah if he needs that break to get his energy back. So one case is a gravedigger that Mishnah talks about. So the gravedigger, we understand that he works really hard and he needs to rest up for a minute, for a few minutes, in order to get back to work. And the Mishnah actually even talks about it. He says, B'shas Noichim, I has a little break. But also, another person who's going to do a mitzvah is potter from min ha-sukkah, even at night when he's not traveling, because the Mishnah says he's not going to sleep so well in the sukkah, so he needs his energy to travel again tomorrow. Which is to say, it's pretty broad, the way we look at it, to say is how much does he need the break to make that even the break time is considered the oisik b'mitzvah and he's potter min ha-mitzvah. So it's a little, it very much depends on the situation, but it's potential that even if the sheikh has a break, he may not be mechuyev to daven during that break time. Even to us, it would seem like he's not going to assume it anymore. So in response to that, in one of these situations, the Rabbi Masha says, you know what? We'll adjust the schedule. If everybody else gets a half an hour break and they daven during their half hour break, or however long their break is, we'll give this person a longer break so he can have the time to unwind and relax and eat something. And he'll have time to daven. They wanted him to daven. They were very much the same Shemayim wanted him that he should do the right thing. They said, even if he'll claim that I need all that time to pull myself together, we'll give him some more time. We'll readjust the schedule. Okay, now, before we close, I just want to mention, what happens if a person with tapos oisik b'mitzvah, put them in a mitzvah, and the sheikh didn't daven because of that? So, there's a question in Hilchos Avelos. In Hilchos Avelos, the din is by Hilchos Avelos that if a person was an Oinid and he wasn't required to daven for a whole tefillah, he missed a whole tefillah, let's say he missed Ma'ariv, he missed entire nighttime, he was busy with the maze, and it wasn't until the morning that he's able to daven, that the kfur happened, and now he's mechuyev to daven again. So the din is in Hilchos Avelos, he's not mechuyev to make up the tefillah that he missed. We don't say he has to daven two Shemoneh Esreis to make up for the fact that he missed, in our case, Ma'ariv. So there's a shayla on the afrenim, if whether the Taz says there, that din is true for an onion, because the onion is taka potter from davening. But he says, but an osik b'mitzvah, who didn't daven a certain tefillah, would be mechuyev to daven two shmon esrei at the next tefillah. In our case, the sheikh that missed shachris, didn't daven shachris, because osik b'mitzvah, he has to have a mincha, two shmon esrei at mincha. Because over there, it was just his tirda, it was just his being busy that made him not daven, and he's considered onus, and permitted him to not do that, but that's a regular kind of Einus who is mechuyev to daven the second Shemoneh Esrei. That's what the Taz says. But almost most of the Achronim disagree with that, including the Drisha and the Kuzakesim over there, and the Magen Avraham over here, and the Mishnah Berurah Paskens like that, that he's not mechuyev, that a person who's oisik mitzvah, patur min mitzvah, who doesn't daven Shemoneh Esrei, is not mechuyev to make up that Shemoneh Esrei. He does not have to daven two Shemoneh Esrei at his next tefillah. At the same time, Mishnah Berurah says he should make an effort to say Kriya Shema, and at least the first pasuk with Baruch Shem. And if he didn't, even though his mind Kriya Shema is over, he should say Kriya Shema anyhow afterwards if he missed it. He also should put on tefillin if it's still in the daytime, which would usually be. If he finished shechting at 1, 2 o'clock, he should still put on tefillin for the day. And the Mishnah Berurah gives all kinds of directions about what about all the other parts of davening, the Zimra and Brachas and such. As to what the person is supposed to do if he was an Oisik B'mitzah and therefore did not daven Shacharis like everybody else does. So in summary, we've seen all kinds of reasons why the person might be considered Oisik B'mitzah, a reason why it's possible a Shechit might be potter from Tefillah during the time that he shechts, We also saw that it very much depends on certain shilas lahalacha, whether this is an appropriate case for oisik mitzvah mitzvah. And we also see it may depend on the time and place, depending on the schedule and how the setup is, as to whether he's in fact such an oisik mitzvah that he's patur mitzvah.